How many of you have had this experience? You're having a serious conversation with someone. Let's say it's your husband or your wife, your son or your daughter, your neighbor or your coworker, and you're making a very important point. Then the person with whom you're having this conversation says something that makes it very clear that he or she just wasn't listening. We've all had that experience, haven't we? It's really frustrating. Well, that's exactly what we encounter in this morning's gospel. Although we don't hear it, Jesus has just told his disciples for a third time, not once, not twice, for a third time, that he's going to be put to death. Let's listen to the passage that comes just before the account that we hear today. Jesus tells his disciples, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the scribes, the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit upon him, scourge him, and put him to death." You'll notice that it's not just once, but twice that he says that he will be put to death. He's going to be killed. So how do his closest followers respond? Are they sympathetic or concerned about him? No, two of them make it very clear that they haven't been listening to a word that Jesus has been saying by asking to be seated, one at his right and the other at his left, in his glory. Now, of course, before we become too critical of these two disciples, let's examine the other two readings that were proclaimed for our consideration today, because they help to make sense of what we hear in the gospel. Our first reading from the book of Isaiah is very short and can easily be overlooked as we rush to comment on these dumb disciples in the gospel. But Isaiah actually sets the stage for the gospel passage by addressing a very important issue, the issue of suffering. For most of us, suffering seems to go against our basic image of our God, who we see as loving and caring. In the face of all the suffering that we hear about or even experience ourselves, we can find ourselves asking the question, how can a good God allow for so much suffering in the world? It's a good question, isn't it? And throughout history, philosophers and theologians have tried to answer that very difficult question. Some consider suffering a divine punishment, while others see it as a test or an opportunity to strengthen faith or to show heroic virtue or fidelity. And there's some truth in all of these answers, although we as Christians don't consider it divine punishment, but rather natural consequences of our actions. In the end, suffering remains a mystery beyond our comprehension. And like Job, we humbly bow before God, recognizing that God's ways are not our ways. But, in today's readings, we get some good insight into this mystery. So pay attention. Isaiah tells us that the Lord was pleased to crush him with infirmity. And in the letter to the Hebrews that was read so courageously this morning, we hear that Jesus was similarly tested in every way. When we look at these two passages through the eyes of faith, we see that although these words don't explain suffering entirely, they help us to realize that even in suffering, there is some good. Listen, the suffering of the servant is not without purpose or meaning, for the prophet tells us that through suffering, he shall justify many as he bears our guilt. And the word justify is central here. It's a term that speaks of being acquitted and restored to a right relationship with God. And here we see that it's an other who makes it possible. Jesus Christ, in his suffering, has paid the price so that, as we hear in today's second reading today, we can confidently approach the throne of grace to receive God's mercy. It is in Jesus, through his suffering, that we are now able to come once again before God. So our Lord's suffering certainly was not without purpose, was it? And discovering the meaning of suffering is also an element of today's gospel passage. The disciples were basking in the glory and fame of Jesus as he went around healing people and feeding them and even raising people from the dead. And they want just a little more. They want now a place of glory and status in the kingdom that Jesus is proclaiming is at hand. But they're surprised to hear, however, that as part of that kingdom, as leaders in that kingdom, their authority and leadership is not about glory, but about self-giving, even to the point of suffering, even possibly to the point of death. Now, that's not what they're looking for. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're not looking for that either. We just wanted to skip right to the glory, wouldn't we? But pay attention. If discipleship and authority have a new meaning in God's kingdom, so suffering has a new meaning in the coming of God's kingdom. While it cannot be completely explained, nor can it be avoided, we can begin to use suffering for a greater purpose. We can learn from it, and as people of faith, we can join our suffering to those of the suffering servant, whom we all know is Jesus Christ. And then our suffering is not meaningless, but it has a purpose, both for ourselves and for the world. What gives us final hope is that not only did Christ experience suffering, as we all do, but he ultimately overcame it in his resurrection. The last thing that we heard our Lord tell his disciples after he predicted his death three times was that he would rise from the dead. Now, they didn't understand what that meant yet, but we do. We know that the resurrection is part of who we are called to share, because as our Lord died and rose from the dead, so we too, if we follow with him, as we die to ourselves, we too are promised the resurrection. That's the good news that we are called to proclaim to the ends of the earth. And as we join today with the rest of the church around the world in celebrating World Mission Sunday, we're taught so clearly what it is that we are called to proclaim. Jesus has died for our sins, and he has been raised. He is now in glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven. And where he has gone, we hope to follow. In predicting his death and resurrection, Jesus assures both his disciples and us that if we put our trust in him, we who die to ourselves will also rise with him. We believe in the resurrection, and with God's grace, we're able to face our own suffering and death because we firmly believe that we too will rise to new life. Now, isn't that good news? Yes. Amen. Amen.